We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
This is Daniela from STEM Champ. You're listening to KBOO Portland.
I'm Doug McVeigh, host of Free Culture Radio. Every month, we bring you 30 minutes of news and information about people who use drugs as we discuss topics like safe supply, safe consumption spaces, decriminalization, legalization, harm reduction, human rights, civil rights, and much more. Tune in and listen to Free Culture Radio on the third Wednesday of each month from 6:30 to 7 p.m. Pacific here on KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM.
Check out Ear to the Streets of Portland with hosts Sequoina
and Kayla
every first and third Thursday of the month starting at 7 o'clock p.m.
Listen in as we interview community organizers, speak on issues focused on Black Portland, and share community events happening in the area and elsewhere.
Listen on the radio at 90.7 FM, online at www.kbu.fm, or from your mobile phone at m.kbu.fm.
Follow KBU on Instagram at KBU Radio. Ear to the Streets.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 9:02 a.m. Next up is a veteran's voice.
Constitution in your hands, you let it burn without a fight. You feared a man more than the law and called your cowardice your right. You let the truth be bought and sold. You fed the lies until they grew. You stood by smiling as took what was never theirs to rule. History will judge the complicit, the ones who knew. But in the quiet of the night, your choices still will bear their weight. You can't rewrite the words you spoke or mend the trust you let decay. The record stands, the verdict waits, and history will have its say. History will judge the complicit, the ones who knew.
Portland calling. Sisters and brothers, welcome to Veterans Voice Radio Show on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, 104.3 FM in Corvallis, 91.9 FM Hood River, or on the World Wide Web at KBOO.FM. I'm Marvin, and Ty is engineering for me. Thank you, Ty. In just a few minutes, we're going to be talking to Riley. She lives in the Twin Cities in Minnesota, Minneapolis, St. Paul area. We're going to talk with her. But I want to say hello to my good friends, Gary and Darla in Nebraska, Kathy and Aloha, Mitty and her grandchildren, and Jim out in Gresham. What's been happening in down here on Southeast Portland, down at what I call the ICE jail, plus what's going on around the country dealing with ICE and the death of the young woman, Renee Good, in Minnesota, are just travesties, just travesties. I was looking where, over the past decade, ICE has shot and killed more than 24 people, and none of the shooters, the killers, the murderers, have ever been criminally charged. You know, we had the shooting of two people here in Portland. Their only crime has been people of color. I believe they're from Venezuela. I've been in this country undocumented is not a shooting crime. Not getting out of your car when ICE tells you to get out of your car is not a shooting crime. It's just they're completely out of control. And I have so much respect for people, the resistors of ICE, the people who are standing up and taking a stand against ICE and their murdering ways. We're going to talk with Riley. She lives in, I believe, in either St. Paul or Minneapolis. I want to say hello, Riley. How are you today?
Hello. Good morning. I am, yeah, in the Twin Cities in Minnesota, and I guess I am doing as well as I can be under the circumstances.
Yeah, I'm sure, Riley. How long have you lived there?
I came to the Twin Cities for college in 2018, and I've lived here full-time since, I guess, 2021.
So you're out of college already then?
Yes.
Great. When did you really get notice what was happening with ICE occupying the Twin Cities plus other parts of Minnesota? When did you really notice that was happening?
So back in June in Minneapolis, there was some sort of law enforcement operation that included immigration agents. And the community responded to that and like mobilized quite quickly to similar to what we're seeing in the cities now, stand up against this potential immigration raid. And then police escalated that, and there was, you know, tear gas deployed. And I think that was my catalyst for getting involved in the like rapid response network in the Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. And there had been like a little bit of ICE and immigration activity sort of since this administration started. It has picked up, but in the past month or so, things have really escalated quite significantly. There was in November, which I guess is a little over a month ago, another like large immigration raid that had a huge community response to try and slow that down, interfere with that, and respond to that. And then starting in, I guess, November or December is when really this like Operation Metro Surge, I think they're calling it, really kicked off. And since then, it has been like exponentially increasing the amount of people who are being targeted and detained by ICE, the amount of like tear gas that ICE is deploying against people who are just not immediately complying with their orders. The number of people who have been detained, abducted, disappeared has also increased significantly.
Wow. Yeah, sounds like a true occupation.
It is.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Is there any certain, are they both in Minneapolis and St. Paul? Are they doing raids there?
They're in Minneapolis, they're in St. Paul, they're in surrounding suburbs of the Twin Cities, and they are also out in places pretty far outside of the Twin Cities in rural Minnesota. They are everywhere. Like, yes, there's quite a lot within the Twin Cities, but it's not just located in Minneapolis or in the metro area, the whole state.
Yeah. Something else I was wondering, is it in St. Paul and both cities, is there a certain section of each city where they're really congregating and doing most of their, you know, their kidnapping of people?
Yes. there's people here who have been trying to map raids and abductions and detainments, and those are concentrated in certain areas like South Minneapolis, but also it is throughout the, like, there is no part of the city that is safe. Commercial corridors, especially ones that are known to have a large immigrant population, are especially, like, targeted, but that doesn't mean that activity is limited only to those areas.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of like here, too. Because here they were going to, like, Home Depot and places like that. I'm sure they were doing that back there, too.
Oh, yes, definitely.
How about restaurants? Are they going after restaurants? Have you noticed
yes.
that?
There's one that was, I saw reports of yesterday that out in a town of Wilmar, which is a pretty rural part of Minnesota, they had, like, stopped in at a Mexican restaurant, eaten lunch, and then detained the staff there. And that's just possibly, like, the most, like, theatrically Whew. Horrifying example, but it's not the only time that restaurants have been targeted. Like, immigrant-owned businesses are starting to, like, lock their doors, just as, like, even during business hours, to make it harder for ICE to enter. It's a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Is there... there's a lot I want to ask you, Ronnie, but... there, like, certain... Is there core groups of folks that are... together resisting what's going on? Is there, like, you know, like, here we have PIRC, you know, that's kind of like a follows ICE around and lets people know when ICE is coming. Do you guys have that back there?
Yes, and that has been incredibly, like, heartening to see. Like, even in the midst of this occupation, there are so many people who are standing up and resisting in whatever way they can. So we've got a really robust and growing rapid response network, where if people notice ICE in their neighborhoods, they can mobilize other people who are nearby to observe. We're blowing whistles and filming and as legal observers, you have the right to do that, and have been effective at stopping some ICE arrests in that way. We also have people who are collecting food and delivering it to families who cannot leave their house right now. And a lot of that has been organized through schools, but also through, like, churches and other places of worship, and food banks are starting to do, like, home delivery to people who are housebound out of fear of being abducted if they leave their homes. Some of these people have been lifelong activists, but a lot of them are just people who don't like what's happening to their neighbors. They're just people who don't have, like, a strong activist background, but who recognize that what's happening is wrong and who have been mobilized to join in resisting ICE in whatever way they can. And we've got, like, truly, like, large and growing numbers of people who are standing up for immigrants here in Minnesota. In spite of everything, it's been really, really powerful and heartening to see.
Yeah, it's really good to hear that people are standing up, just like here in Portland, you know. You mentioned schools. Were there any school walkouts because of what's going on?
Yes. Yesterday, I believe, a lot of St. Paul high schools walked out to, like, the Capitol building here in St. Paul. And there have been, throughout, like, the past week and a half, a lot of other school walkouts throughout Minneapolis and St. Paul and some of the suburbs as well.
Yeah, they did that here, too. I know that out in Beaverton, Hillsboro, Cornelius, in those areas, the students have been did walkouts, which is really good. I just wonder what it was like there, the feelings that happened after Renee Young was murdered by Jonathan Ross, the ICE agent. What was the feeling that happened after? What was the feeling in your cities after that horrendous murder happened?
There was so much grief here, I think. It also brought back a lot of memories of the murder of George Floyd in 2020, because Renee Good was killed just like blocks, easy walking distance from where George Floyd was also murdered in this city. But I went to like a protest and a vigil after that, and it was like there were so many people there, and all of us were together to mourn, but also to like stand up and be like, we are not like afraid of you, and like what you're doing is not okay, and you haven't like silenced us or made us less willing to resist this occupation. Like, there's so much grief and anger here, and I think that people are really trying to channel that into action, but it's been like, yeah, devastating.
Yeah, because I noticed that from what I've been reading and watching, that ever since that happened, that he murdered that young woman, that the ICE agents seem to have gotten more violent.
And yes, more... that's also true. And you can, sometimes they will threaten like people who are observing, and say like, didn't you like learn your lesson from when we killed Renee Good? They don't use her name, they use expletives and derogatory language, but I'm not going to quote that.
No.
So yeah, and ICE is, I think, anecdotally ramped up their willingness to like break in car windows, has ramped up their willingness to deploy just massive amounts of tear gas at the slightest quote unquote provocation. And so, yeah, there are like daily protests outside of the Whipple Federal Building here, and ICE is always responding to those with aggression.
Yeah, I was watching that when they were, I don't know why they protect that building, but I was watching that, and they seemed to, even for people who weren't right up in their faces, because you have a right to do that, that weren't right up in their faces, that they were abusing people that were just standing there. I saw that quite a few times. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Because they seem to not care who they beat on. They don't care who they attack. They don't care, you know, harm at all to the population. They just don't care, Riley. They think that they have immunity.
Yeah, and like on a similar note, now that we're talking about like the Whipple Building, that's located in Fort Snelling, which is like a historic fort in Minnesota. And during the Dakota War in Minnesota in like the 1860s, a lot of Native Americans were detained and interned at Fort Snelling. And ICE has been arresting and detaining Native Americans in the Twin Cities. Now, again, that's just straight up racial profiling based on the like color of their skin and their assumed like background and the fact that they're not white. And so that's like another instance of some really terrible and painful history of Minnesota repeating itself.
Wow.
Again, here.
Wow. Because I remember studying in high school about that happening there. Because I read in the news, or I think on Democracy Now I heard it, where the leadership of Native American groups are saying that, yeah, they are being you know, sought out and being arrested and being confined in these prison camps. I call them prison camps, concentration camps. That Native Americans
should call them concentration camps.
Yeah, concentration camps. And they're not telling the tribes where their people are. Did you hear that back there too?
Yeah, no, there are definitely like Native American people from the Twin Cities who have been detained and who have not been released despite like their tribe and their family providing documentation that should be enough to secure their release, you know?
Yeah, because I think it was last weekend here down at the ICE jail, there was a group of our sisters and brothers from Native Americans came down there and were with us down there, and I was standing right next to an elder, and I didn't get to talk to her because she was talking to other people, but I would really have liked to talk to her and get the feeling of her and other elders in the tribes. That would have been really interesting to hear what they have to say. Go ahead.
Yeah, the American Indian movement was founded in Minneapolis, and they are still active here and have been really active in doing ICE patrols around Minneapolis as well. So, like, there's this really like great solidarity in the city between a lot of different groups with a lot of different histories all coming together to protect each other from ICE.
That is great. That's great. Wow, that's really great. Yeah, I didn't know that AIM was started there. I had no idea. Because I know some of AIM guys from years back, Dino Butler and some of those folks. But I didn't know it was started in Minnesota. Probably Minneapolis, probably, right?
Minneapolis, yeah.
Wow, home of AIM. Wow, that's really cool. In fact, I used to go up on Mount Hood to a Sundance, and you could give blood offerings or flesh offerings up there, and I had them do the AIM arrow on my arm, you know.
All right.
And yeah, I still have that scar on my arm, but I thought, yeah, because I support them. How about the Black community? How's it doing with all this crap?
There is definitely, I think, fear and like trauma again, because it feels really similar to 2020 and the murder of George Floyd. The second ICE shooting that happened in Minneapolis happened in North Minneapolis, which is a Black neighborhood in Minneapolis that's faced like historic disinvestment and like underinvestment. And after that shooting, ICE deployed just absurd amounts of tear gas and some other like green gas there when people came to respond to that shooting. And like, I don't think it's a coincidence that there was such like a huge like response and immediate willingness to use like tear gas and other chemicals in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
And like, there is this one family, I don't know how far this news has spread outside of Minnesota, but that these parents with their six children were like, we have to get out of this neighborhood for this evening because there's so much tear gas, it's not going to be good for our kids if we stay here right now. And then ICE threw tear gas into their car and all of their kids had to be hospitalized because of like the chemical irritants.
Wow.
And so yeah, it's rough here.
Wow.
And a lot like yeah
Wow, that is just horrible. I mean, they do that here, you with tear gas and stuff here, but man, with children, you know, That's
yeah.
Has the ice gone into or around high schools in grade schools?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Even like hours after they had murdered Renee Good in Minneapolis, around another high school in Minneapolis, there was an ice operation. Again, so much tear gas was used. And as a result of that, Minneapolis Public Schools, St. Paul Public Schools, and a couple of the like suburban school districts have went like fully online learning for a couple of days, and then also now are offering hybrid options for students who fear ice to the extent that they cannot leave their homes, which is that's a huge ask for teachers to be able to shift their entire curriculum basically overnight to a like hybrid learning model, but they're doing it for like their students, because for some of them, like, they can't come to school, or if they do come to school, like, they've had a parent abducted the night before. The impact on kids and students is significant.
Wow, that would be so. Have any teachers been arrested by ICE or kidnapped by ICE? I don't think arrested is a good word. I think kidnap or abducted is a better word. Has any teachers there been in Minnesota been taken?
I haven't seen that specifically, but I also cannot say with 100% certainty that the answer is no.
Yeah. How about the university there in universities in Minnesota? Are those college students, university students standing up and taking a stand?
Yeah, definitely. I think the University of Minnesota has been on winter break for a while, and I don't think that they will return to classes until Monday. So that's definitely like the biggest university here. So it remains to be seen exactly how that will play out. From what I have seen from students, their statements from like the school administration are not comforting in terms of how it seems like they'll protect students. And at other, like, there are a lot of little small colleges around the Twin Cities as well. And like, one, students have been abducted on campus at some of those universities. And again, there are lots, it's hard to speak with like complete generalization,
right,
but
right.
Like some of them are allowing like international students to stay on campus at times when they like otherwise wouldn't, so that they don't have to leave the United States and come back and deal with like visa issues and things like that.
That's good.
So, yeah.
That's really good. I want to go back and talk about the second shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that for us? Because I don't really know a whole lot about it.
Yeah, I've seen a lot less information about that one as well. But what ICE is saying is that somebody attacked them with a shovel, and then they shot that person in the leg, and they're saying that person was, in their words, illegal immigrant from Venezuela. I've never seen a picture of that shovel, and also it hasn't snowed here recently. So, you know, they lie about what happens all the time.
Oh, they lie so much.
So, like, take that with, you know, the appropriately sized grain of salt. Mm-hmm. Like, there was an ICE-involved shooting, to use their euphemism, in Maryland, and initially they had reported that, like, they shot a driver and a passenger in a van that was, like, attempting to ram an ICE vehicle, and it has since come out that one of the people that was shot was already in like the ICE vehicle in custody. So
yeah,
that calls into question their whole narrative there. I think facts are still emerging about what like really happened there, and I think facts are still emerging about what really happened in North Minneapolis. But suffice it to say that even in that case, like, nobody deserves to be shot in the leg by, like, armed agents of the state.
Yeah. I mean...
Yeah.
I'm with you. I read a story about ICE agents. I can't remember where it happened, but what the ICE agent said was that a car rammed them and they shot the woman. It was a woman, and they shot her two times, and I believe it killed her. But come to find out is that they rammed her. They rammed her car. And then they were, they said that she rammed them. And so they, you know, this, and then they laughed about it, you know, they laughed about it. Did you see? Sorry, I'm angry. People were bragging that they make $200,000 a year with just a high school education. They're bragging about that. They have more money. Yeah. Oh, Riley, that is so horrible, so horrible, so horrible. So horrible.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah.
So horrible.
Oh, my gosh.
Have you been to any of the rallies, say, in front of the detention center we were just talking about? Were you down there? Or do you stay?
I have been to a rally down there, not one of the, like, recent super tear gassy ones.
Yeah.
But, like, a couple of months ago, Christy Noem came here to do a press conference, and a bunch of us were outside of that building to, like, shout down her press conference.
Good for you. So, how many people do you think are out in the streets at any one time there?
Quite a lot, honestly. Places have, like, neighborhoods have set up, like, regular patrols of just sort of the whole area, but especially, like, commercial corridors that they think will be major targets for ICE. So there are always people out there with whistles. And, like, worth noting, some of these days are pretty cold, and we still have a lot of people out there. And then there are also always people down at the Whipple Building protesting other places in the cities as well. Like, there's quite a... I don't know how to, like, count it, and I don't know if I even would want to count it if I could, but, like, there's... like I mentioned earlier, it's been really, I don't know, heartening to see how many people are willing to stand on a chilly street waiting to watch for ICE, you know?
Right. I heard that now there's approximately 3,000 ICE agents in your state.
Yes.
3,000 ICE agents in your street.
Yeah.
On your streets.
Yeah. We've, in Minneapolis, have learned a lot from people in Chicago who have been through this before us, and also places like Portland and Los Angeles. Like, we all learn from each other, and so I hope that other places are learning from Minneapolis right now as well.
Oh, I'm telling you, people are learning from
that's me. That's good. That's part of why I wanted to, like, do this, like, interview today, is that people can learn about what's happening in Minneapolis and learn what to do when this comes to their own city.
Right.
But, like, even at the height of the, what do they call it, Midway Blitz or whatever, in Chicago, they didn't have 2,000 ICE agents. And Chicago has, I don't know how much larger of a population than the Twin Cities does. So this is truly, like, an unprecedented invasion and occupation.
There's
so many of them.
Why do you think that is? Have you guys talked about it? Have you brainstormed why they're sending so many ICE goons to your state, especially to your two cities? Any idea?
I think there are a lot of potential reasons, and I think it's sort of a perfect storm combination of all of them. I think that the fact that Minneapolis was the epicenter of racial justice protests in 2020, I think there are a lot of people who haven't gotten over that and who are still really bitter about how people came together to, like, demand racial justice and to protest against police violence, police brutality, and the police in general. And so I think there's still some, I don't know, bad blood there. I also think that the fact that we have such a significant, like, Somali population here, Somalis exist at this, like, intersection of anti-Black racism, anti-Muslim Islamophobia, and just generalized, like, anti-immigrant xenophobia. And so there are really, unfortunately, convenient group to demonize and to otherize and to target. And people talk about, like, fraud in Minnesota and try and connect that to, like, the Somali community. And for, like, when this hit, like, national news, this has been known in Minnesota since 2019. Like, this is not new that there has been some of the, like, the child care fraud where child care centers are billing the state for services that they were not providing. But that's been known, and we've been trying to address that to the best that we can. And some of the people at the highest level of that, like, fraud, were white, but people in the, like, right-wing outrage media do not care about those details and are instead using it as an opportunity to demonize the Somali community, the entire Somali community. Like, even if a couple of, like, people were involved in fraud, there are so many people here who were not, but they're all lumped into the same basket, again, because they exist as, like, this minority that's marginalized on a couple of different axes of oppression and fear. And so I think that they, unfortunately, like, the Trump administration has made Minnesota's Somali community a convenient scapegoat, and so are cracking down here. And I think you can see that because I think they've also threatened to send ICE to certain communities in Maine that also have a large Somali diaspora. And so that's also really, like, like, heartbreaking, because, like, I love the Somali community here. They are such a, like, key part of this city. And it's, like, most, over half of the Somali population in Minnesota was born in the United States. And even more than that, like, the vast majority have, are citizens or are naturalized citizens. And so even though Trump has just recently, like, revoked temporary protected status for Somalis in Minnesota, like, a lot of them are citizens and are here on, not on TPS.
Yeah.
But I worry that the whole community now is going to be seen as ripe for deportation, as, like, oh, well, you're not, you don't have TPS anymore, so all of you
got to go,
are now a target for deportation. But that's simply not true. And so it, I don't know, there's it's a lot.
It's a lot, because I the other day down at the ICE jail, I made a sign that I kept every time that the ICE people would come in and out of the compound there in their cars. I had a sign that says, "I'm Somali," you know, standing up for the Somalis. And then the next night I had one that said, "I'm Hispanic." And as there was a bunch of cops on their bicycle, cops came down there, and because there was such a huge crowd after Miss Good was murdered, they came down there, and I had my sign, "I'm Hispanic," and one of the cops says, "We're not ICE," you know, just like, yeah, we're not going to believe that, you know. You can say whatever you want, but you guys, you know, aren't telling the truth, aren't telling the truth at all. So let me ask you, if we haven't got, no, we haven't got much time left. Boy, it's really going fast. Fast. So what projects have you done help in the communities? But so, yeah, you said you went to some rallies. What else? Do you do the? Do you pass out the? We pass out these pamphlets that in Spanish that you know have things that the Hispanic population can do. We hand out whistles, you know, and those type of things. Are you doing that?
Yeah, I've got whistles. I'm part of like the Rapid Response Network. So if ICE is in my vicinity, I can go observe and respond to that. I've dropped off food to people who can't go get groceries or leave their house. I'm involved in like a smattering of little things and I hope to continue doing that and more.
Yes, good for you. I heard that sometimes that you folks pay for it too, pay for some of the food that's handed.
There's been a lot of fundraising through schools to set up like funds so that families can get their groceries delivered and stuff, but also like I wasn't gonna wait for that like funds to materialize. Like the need was urgent, and so
It's really urgent. Hey, what part of the population, what percentage of the folks out in the streets now are younger people? Because us grays, we call ourselves grays because we're gray-haired. You know, we're getting pretty old, and we're not going to be able to be out there much longer. So what percentage do you think of the people in the streets are younger?
It's been a really good mix here from what I have, like, personally seen of, like, young people. Like, a lot of my friends who work, like, irregular hours, that frees them up to do, like, observing and rapid response at times when other people are maybe working their 9-to-5. There are also people who are, like, parent-aged who have really set up, like, patrols around schools at drop-off and pick-up times to keep schools that even the people who are still going to school in person to keep them safe, and who have even coordinated, like, drop-off and pick-up if, like, a parent can't leave the house but the kid is still going to school. So we've got people of that age demographic. I've seen, like, the grays out as well. It's been, like, that is the other thing, is that, like, the response in the Twin Cities that I have seen has really come from everywhere. There are people who have, like, never been to a protest before who are getting out there now. There are people who have been lifelong activists who are out there. And it from a lot of different, like, neighborhoods and ages. And it's been, like, all of us in the Twin Cities are against what ICE is doing to our neighbors and our community. And so it's really mobilized a lot of people to get involved.
Riley, is there anything you want to, before we have to let you go, is there anything you want to say, anything more that we haven't talked about that you want to talk about before we have to go?
I would just say that if you are not in Minnesota right now, watch what is happening here, learn from us, and like start mobilizing your community now. Like, meet your neighbors, get involved in your like rapid response network, know your rights, get like know who you might have to deliver groceries for, so that you can get that set up right away. Because if and when they leave the Twin Cities, they will come somewhere else. And so we've learned a lot from the people who came before us, and we hope that you are learning from what we're going through now. If you have a 3D printer, start printing whistles, things like that. And you can also, like, don't, if you have done all of that for your own community and you still want to help Minnesota, like the Minnesota Immigrant Rights Action Committee, or the Immigrant Law Center of Minnesota are taking donations and are doing a lot to support right now. Food banks here could also definitely use donations if you are able and willing to do that. And just like, learn from us and support your neighbors, support each other. We keep us safe. And so, I just wanted to like impress upon your listeners how severe and dire things are in the Twin Cities, but also that it is possible to resist. And the earlier you start like warming up those muscles, the better your response can be.
Great. Riley, I want to thank you, and I'll probably either text you or I'll call you later today, okay?
Yeah, sounds great.
Okay.
Thank you so much for having me on. Have a good rest of your day.
Okay, you too, Riley.
To your listeners. Yeah.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
That's Riley. She's a young... I don't know how old Riley is. She's pretty young. And she's... You know, she gave some pretty good advice about what's going on out there. Especially, boy, they are really going after Minnesota. Well, you know, their mayor, their governor, you know, ran for vice president with Kamala Harris. So, and he's really, really, really standing up against Trump and his minions of occupiers. He's making some very strong statements against them, which is good. So is our governor too. But it's good to know that folks are out there like that, and that she's right. You know, she's right that next they're going. I heard they're next. There's two places that I've heard. One is they're going into Maine. They're sending their occupiers into Maine. And also I heard that they drew some of their goons out of Louisiana and sent them to Minnesota. I watched them take a... And the reason they're one of the reasons that they're into Louisiana is because there's a huge Vietnamese population there, and some of those folks came here and just overstayed their visas, you know. But that's not a reason to kidnap them, beat them up, tear gas them, tear them away from their families. I saw them put a older, she must have, Vietnamese woman, she must have been in her 80s, and they just, you know, grabbed her and took her and threw her in the back of an ICE van and took her away from her family. You know, Roddy's right, you know. I was, what time is it? 9:51, we got 9 minutes. I was reading today about Miss Good, where her shots were. And there was two shots that hit her in the right side of her chest. One shot went into her left forearm. And one shot hit her in the left side of her face. So that's four shots. She was hit four times. And I watched that video. I didn't want to watch that video of what happened to her, but I needed to watch it to see exactly what that horrible person did. You know, they lied about him getting ran over and all that stuff, because you can watch what happened. And he was nowhere near getting ran over. You know, they lie so, like Riley said, they lie so much it's just hard to, you know, believe anything that they're saying. They just lie so much. I was watching a video of things that these ICE people do. They one group was saying that they were worked for the city and they were there to check some utilities at their house. And when the person came out to show them where like the box was or whatever it was, they arrested him, took him away. You know, they're for some reason they're not being controlled at all. They're not being held under the rights that we have in this country. Due process, for one thing. Due process. They're not getting due process. Being in this country illegally is not a death sentence. It's not a sentence to be beaten, to be gassed, to be taken from your family. You have due rights, and they are not given our sisters and our brothers due rights. And we have to, like Riley says, we need to stand up and we need to not let them send our country more into a authoritarian government that Donald Trump wants and his crony Stephen Miller and the rest of them, those folks want. You know, I heard people down at the ICE jail down in Southeast Portland, you know, talking about trials, you know. Trials for those people who have done that. And hopefully we'll have those. Okay, I want to play that last song. We'll be back on February 20th at 9 a.m. And I'm going to have Ty play that last song because it's pretty long. And then we're going to end it. And there it is. Thank you for listening. And don't forget to support KBOO.
They say he's bulletproof, wrapped in flags and fear. No gavel loud enough, no guardrails left to steer. Courts looked the other way, Congress fell in line. The law got sold for parts, truth pawned for airtime. But every lie he shouts into a hard mind glare lights a thousand sparks in the open air. We will not bow, we will not break, we will not trade our souls for hate. Not with fists, not with fear, not with gasoline. We fight with ballots, voices, and stubborn dreams. We will win, yeah, that much is true. And when it's done, we will rebuild too. When cruelty struts like it's immune to shame, when violence stops whispering and starts yelling its name, something wakes up in the quiet crowd, a deeper courage, steady and loud. The more they show us who they are inside, the more the decent world decides to rise. We will not bow, we will not. We'll build a future worthy of our lives. For our kids and their kids, we draw the line. No kings, no thrones, no stolen time. No strongman myths, no billionaire gods. No nation built on prison yards. Let across the sea, let streets fill up peacefully. This is how a mad rain ends, not with silence, but with friends. We will not bow, we will not break, we will not let the
display, but a moral force that lights the way. My friend, stand tall, the choice is clear. We're still standing strong, and the future's near.
In flags and fear, no gavel loud enough, no guardrails left to steer. Courts looked the other way, Congress fell in line. The law got sold for parts, truth pawned for airtime. But every lie he shouts into a hard mind glare lights a thousand sparks in the open air.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM.
KBOO's zine, The Boo Beat, is back with a second issue, featuring KBOO's program guide, interviews with local activists and community members,